can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Amidst it all, here we are again. 1 hour tonight, 8 to 9. It gives you all time to have supper and do this and do that, whatever you got to do. And what was that again? This and that. Welcome. You know, one of our main weapons in this war that's coming, the war that is the Holy Bible. There's only one, the King James Bible. You know, as 5 years I've been saying this, and still there's preachers out here, rabbis and priests and popes and whatever, that still use Bibles that are corrupted and missing verses. Yet today, can't even figure out how it is that they, you know, it's how they do this. They know the verses are missing. You can't argue that. There's no argument. Not really. And you have to say, well, what's the basic gospel anyway? Doesn't matter what Bible you use. All kinds of justification. It just befuddles my mind. Basic common sense says, use a Bible that, I can't believe I say this, use a Bible that's got all the verses in it. You know, no, I'd rather use a Bible that doesn't have all the verses in it. I like a Bible that's incomplete. What? It's got to be some spell, or they've got to be leading double lives. I don't understand it. You know, it's not a preference of, well, I just like the King James. It's not a preference. It's a logical choice. I want a car that doesn't have all the spark plugs in it, okay? If there was another Bible that, in the 327, how many they are, that was equal to the King James, no problem. You know, I'd say here the King James and the lickety-split one, whatever. Because they're both the same way and all this. No problem. But there's none. Not even one anywhere. There's only two Bibles ever been written anyway. King James and the corrupted one from Origen. Went to Eusebius and Jerome, to Westcott and Hort, two Freemasons, and its own stream of translation. Then blossomed out to all the modern Bibles we got today. Up to 300 of them. They all come from one stream of translation. One. The King James comes from one. There's only two ever been set up. And yet all the corrupted ones are just that, corrupted. And even Duck Dynasty showed his true colors. They're going to do their own Bible by October next year. So right there, slam dunk, pagans, man. So they lie on TV. They go to Saddleback Church. Support for that. There you go. Ducks of a feather. Fly together. What can you say? Rick Warren, council member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Rick Warren. So now Duck Dynasty, like Thomas Jefferson, is going to do their own Bible, like Marietta Baker, like Mormons, like Jehovah's Witness. Man, just throw Christian in there, you know. You know. Baptists use different Bibles. Presbyterian use different Bibles. My mind doesn't wrap around that, at all. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and talk tonight. I said I was going to continue on with how to lead others to Jesus Christ and how to lead others, because there's God's putting on people's hearts. I see it happening. That's really the bottom line. And when someone comes up to you, and if you are in a FEMA camp, if you are on the street, if you're on a subway or something like that, and someone needs to witness, and you're there, you're not always going to have your Bible with you. You're not always going to have the steps in your head. You got to be able to go through them and lead someone to Jesus. I don't know if I'm telling you or telling myself. We all got to learn this, because it's coming. God's putting on people's hearts to find, to get what you've got. And what you've got, you got to keep. You can't fall away. Because people searching are going to search you out like a sore thumb. They're going to look for you. And they're going to scrutinize what you do, because there's so much deception in these churches. And the facade that they're ordained and they went to college doesn't mean a thing. Apparently, it's working against 99% of theologians today. Because all the colleges, universities, and theology schools of theology are based on secular humanism, hidden in the background. Let's dedicate it. Lord, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray tonight to lead us tonight in this Bible study. Father, forgive us for our sins. Give us opportunities. Give us opportunities, Father, to close our lost gaps and to make amends that, Father, we need to be making in order to get our house straight, our houses, our walk with you. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you're bringing up to us. I'm sure that there's others, Lord, that's praying that you know what we're talking about, that when we ask for forgiveness of something we've done to others, that those loose ends are being tied up and get our house in order and ready for that time to come. Lord, we pray for our brethren, Lord, to spread that Holy Spirit around them, touch those hearts to bring them to repentance, Lord, to put that burden on their heart to unleash it and unload it. And, Father, to walk in the Spirit. We pray tonight that, Father, that families will come together. That, Father, your Holy Spirit will be lifted. Holy Bible will be read. And, Father, people will be witnessing. We pray for tonight Bible study. How to lead others, Lord, that you'll guide us tonight. This I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Why is it that people don't read the Bible? And I got excuses too along the way. They'll pop up. I'm not a saint. I'm learning like you. So don't think because I'm on the radio and that I'm leading these sessions and this broadcast for 5 years that, you know, I'm a saint. Far from that. I'm learning every day. This is for me. But me, I decide to share it. If I'm going to learn, I just let other people learn with me and I'll learn from them. I need something that works, they say. Where does the Bible fit in your life? I need something that works, something that's relevant. Relevance is what we're looking for. People think it's archaic, out of date. Had to do with another generation, eons ago, thousands of years ago. But it has to do with us today. God's revelation, this is live today as it was when it was first delivered. Some people say, well, I don't know how. I'll try, but this doesn't work out for me. They go through the phase, they've decided they're really going to study the Bible. Someone in the seminar would say it's impossible to know God apart from knowing His Word. People wanting to know now how to get closer to Him. They're going to tell you in some places you got to learn the Greek or Hebrew and say it nonchalantly as if 7 billion people are actually going to try to learn Greek and Hebrew. Tell them it's nonsense. Call them out on this. Don't let them get away with it. I don't even care if it's a preacher. I had a preacher tell me that. That, well, you know, if you really want to learn, you got to get this, you get him some Bible, and they said something about, you know, learn a little Greek, learn a little Hebrew. I said, what? I said, preacher, ain't nobody going to learn Greek and Hebrew. You don't have the time. And if you did, you won't be adequate enough to be able to translate. And you don't have anything to translate from. He didn't like that. And, well, can't help that. I'm not politically correct anyway. Some say it's a problem of technique. It's common for many people today. They're reluctant to jump in because they know they can't swim in the Scripture. Culture doesn't help that much, and I've talked about that today, how they're taking down the families. They're taking down the religion, too. Well, that, I don't blame them for that. But they're taking down the truth about Jesus. I blame them for that. You got television, computers, video games. Did I ever mention about corrupted Bibles? Visually oriented people, we're losing our ability to read and write literally. One of the skills, one of the things that we're going to do, talk about is the Great Commission. But you got to be armed. You got to load your magazine. For the non-military, magazine isn't something you read. Magazine that holds your bullets. So you got to load your magazine. It fits into the rifle. Your rifle is the Word of God. Loading it means you put it in your head. You're ready to fire it out your mouth. And how to bring people to Jesus. Someone will say, I'm just a layman. See? I might say I pay attention to what I understand in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, the Lord is my shepherd, and that sort of thing. But the rest of it is left up to the pastor. Now you see, that's really going to work. That he understands all that stuff. Oh, I love you, Pastor. How come we're still using NIV Bible, though, Pastor? How come you don't tell everybody to get rid of your new King James, get rid of your new NSB? Your ESV, whatever it is, Jerusalem Bible, whatever, and go get one that works. That's a King James Bible with proof, and it doesn't seem to matter to some. matters to God to keep forgetting about Revelation 22, 18, 19. God don't forget that. It's toward the end of the Bible anyway. How do you forget that? How in the world do you go about doing it? You don't need professional training to understand the Bible. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. That's utterly ridiculous. That's almost insulting. You know, as long as you can read, you can dig up the scriptures for yourself and find it yourself easily. One of the things that really stops it is people interrupt you. They'll always try to interrupt you. When you start, you need to find a quiet place where you can search the scriptures. Satan tries to make things where you can't study. He'll use different ways of doing it to keep you from carrying forth and keeping unfocused, keep you unfocused. When you read the Bible and all the amazing things in it, and you realize it's a true story, it's not a fantasy. I mean, how about in the Old Testament, Numbers or Judges, I think it is, where one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. I mean, you're like thinking, well, maybe that's exaggerated a little bit. Maybe it was like you can't even imagine. So it's got to be hyperbole. No, it happened. Back then, the supernatural was a natural way of things going. Today, it would give people a heart attack if they saw the first angel. Except for the Satanists and the witchcraft and high level, very high level Freemasons that know the secret, royal secret. They see the supernatural, but that's to keep them pulled in. What did Jesus say to Thomas? My Lord, my God, Thomas said to Jesus. And Jesus said, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who've not seen and yet believe. So that tells me that those that say they've seen Jesus ain't Jesus of Nazareth. Why would he pick just any individual today and visit them in their house, their car, their bedroom, or their living room, even one time? He won't. So then you got to question who that is that they're seeing. Why would he be special to someone today when he told Thomas, a disciple, blessed are those that have not seen yet believe? So that means he won't show again till the rapture, whenever it may be. He won't show after that and come on the earth until the second coming. So why would he visit each? He's got the Bible right here. Holy Spirit will lead you. So Jesus don't have to show up to nobody for no reason. Bible study. Well, you can't expect me to read it. I'm just a layperson. I'm no theological training. That works in your favor, actually. I mean, literally. Because they are. Every college, every university, every public school is a school of humanism. The worship of man, not God. Some of them say, I just don't have time. I get around to it. I got little ones to keep up with, they say. My husband works late at night, so I got to do this and do that and or vice versa. You know, this is the 21st century, you know. You got Mr. Mom. Or they got the kids all day. I get lucky 20 minutes to myself. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Parenting is demanding. Where's the Bible fit on the list of priorities? Got to get to know it. Word, as they say. wonder where to get that word for word. And then there's the, I have doubts about the Bible. Oh, that's on treacherous territory. Where'd they get that from? Would it be because the preachers aren't preaching the total truth? Is it would be because they know there's other Bibles in the congregation. They know they don't say the same thing. Would that possibly be a reason? You got preachers out there that even go against it. Or they say, I just can't seem to make it interesting. You don't expect anyone to be a great theologian. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says that the Bible is profitable for doctrine. Seems that there's a lot of problems and people complaining about what could be remedied if they pay a little more attention to what the Bible has to say. Giants, just like, some of it, almost like we're taught fantasy, but it's real. And it's not history, it's future. Well, just all kinds. The Bible doesn't seem relevant. The Bible seems confusing and hard to understand. I just don't know what to make sense of it. I used to read the Bible and it made me feel good, but after a while, it didn't seem to have the same impact, so finally gave up. Or I feel guilty when I read the Bible. You are no kidding. Imagine that, huh? Is that called Holy Spirit conviction? The Bible's hopelessly out of date. It may have had some interesting stories, but it's a little significant for life today. That's a preacher's fault. I rely on my pastor or minister to explain the Bible. If I need to know something, he'll tell me about it. Not all of them will. Matter of fact, a few of them will nowadays. They're always busy. Got 15,000 people there that they got to tend to. I have doubts about the Bible's reliability. Or I don't have time. I'm too busy. Or the Bible seems boring to me. Or I don't own a Bible. And really, one of the ones that the Bible's full of myths and half-truth. Why study something that lacks credibility? Or I don't read, period. It's not the Bible. Just don't read anything. I don't like it. Hey, everybody's got something there. Well, you have the Great Commission. That's really the most important thing. It's a Great Commission. You know, it's been nearly over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ gave the command to his disciples, and today there's still millions of people who are not saved. The unsaved can be divided into two groups. Those who've heard the gospel and rejected it. They believe they deserve hell. I want to go to hell, they say. Because they're angry at God for what Satan's doing. They don't realize that. And those who've never heard the gospel at all. That's a very common one right there that's used by the naysayers. Matter of fact, brings me to Notion. About Oprah, there's an interview. She's on a show, really. And she talks about that. I'm seeing a lot of articles come out today on religion in particular. Wow. So, those who've never heard the gospel. Now, some of y'all heard this before. And I'm going to play it again because it kind of fits what I'm talking about here. About those who've heard the gospel, reject it, and those who've never heard the gospel. What do we do about those people that's never heard the gospel at all? There's an answer here. The way, the truth, and the life.
The panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God, but I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God
Oprah.
That we can depend on, but there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being. And many ways, no, but many paths
many
to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be on that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides,
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
I even raised him up in this whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way.
There is one way and only one way, and that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say there isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right.
Do you think, that if you are somewhere on the planet... If you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People are talked about
that. God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or does God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know... Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay. Okay. I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion, Oprah.
Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other one under the sun.
Now, this is...
You see. And this is the story. Because it's all based a lot on assumptions and, but against it because it restricts the living of people, their way they want to live. Gets in the way. So they got to find ways to downplay it. The second group are those who've never heard the gospel. Have no true knowledge of God to see what their spiritual condition is, and God has told us to do something about it. Some people have done that. It's called missionaries. Not everybody's called to be a missionary. Sometimes it's within your own country. The condition of those who've not heard the gospel is that they're in spiritual darkness and under the power of Satan. They commit sins they don't think are sins. They worship idols of wood and stone. They live in fear of evil spirits. They are afraid to die. Some countries, mothers even throw their babies to crocodiles. Others cut themselves and walk on beds of spikes. Why would you do something like that? Because they've been told that by doing these things, their sins will be forgiven. That's how desperate some people get. Other countries, people are highly civilized. You've seen them if you've visited overseas, but other places is heavy in voodoo or witchcraft. Depends where you are. Even Louisiana. Africa, I've been to Africa. Never been to Louisiana. But been to Africa. Heavy, all kinds of things there. Well, we got it right here in the United States. This is heavy, just about. The witchcraft they got in these mountainous area out in the West. They may not worship idols of wood and stone, but they too are spiritual darkness and under the power of Satan. The Bible describes them as being without Christ and having no hope and without God in their world. Because those reasons I mentioned, reasons they don't read the Bible, the same reason they don't seek God. But you know, those in Christian lands, and now today a lot of them are being persecuted, according to the news, in other places. It's coming to America eventually. But these who have rejected the gospel are no better off than those who've never heard the gospel, because they'll be judged more severely by God because they rejected the gospel. But the question, it begs the question, did God create people with no knowledge of himself? No, he didn't. Man was created in the image of God, as I talked about today in my broadcast. Satan was not. Satan was a created being. We were created in the image of God, but man turned away from God. When you go to the first chapter of Romans, you read about a man's downward steps away from God. It's called falling away. Wouldn't glorify him as God. Not thankful. Became foolish in their imaginations, and hearts are darkened because of this. God's word was put in the Alps after the first or second century, third century, thereabouts. After the third century. When the Dark Ages started, when was that? I don't remember. Anyway, when the Dark Ages started, that's when God's word was put in the Alps. God's holy word, scrolls and transcripts that were collected. Not the ones the Vatican had, because they were not the word of God. That's why they call it the Dark Ages. How can you have the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church is God on earth, right? If I ever put that together, Catholic Church is God's place on earth, right? Well, if that's true, then how come they had the Dark Ages? And they admit it in history books. No. So claiming to be wise, they became as fools. Instead of worshiping the glorious God who created us and them, make images of birds and beasts and crosses and doodads and dingleberries and, I don't know, rosary beads and whatever. All it is idols. You know, the cross that you wear, maybe something your grandmother gave you. But don't think it's a religious item. It's a trinket that your grandmother gave you that you like. It has no significance in religion. It's just a souvenir from your grandmother or mother or whatever. Idols don't have power, but Jesus does through the Holy Spirit. When it talks about this in Romans 1, 21 to 32, 11 verses there that talks about this, about images and so forth. So man's downward steps starts with did not glorify God in everything they did. Then being unthankful to God or man, being vain, self-glory, the big I, ego. Then is the heart as so prideful. Hearts are darkened. Hearts closed to God. No room for God when he got you. Look at me, I'm a God. That's what Copeland and Joyce Myers and T.D. Jakes and Brazier and Dollar, Hagee and Hagen, all these guys, Pat Robinson, a whole lot of them. Some talk about different things that are anti-scriptural. Others talk about us being little gods running around. Gods in the making. Hearts are darkened, become proud and foolish, or self-centered. Worship idols, And lastly, all in righteousness. And religion doesn't save you. People are lost for two reasons. They're sinners and don't know Christ as their Savior. But can these people be saved? Yes. See, the gospel is for everybody. That's the good news. It says that the gospel in Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So, can people call on the Lord if they do not believe on Him? No, they cannot. Can they believe on Him if they've never heard of Him? No. Can they hear of Him unless someone tells them? No, they cannot. Therefore, someone must go and tell them about the Lord Jesus if they are to be saved. If not, it's necessary, then God wouldn't have said the Great Commission. Who can tell them about Jesus? Well, those would be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the mystery of reconciliation." 2 Corinthians 5:18. Clear as a bell. Got the word Jesus Christ there. I'm going to check something while I'm talking. Curiosity about 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let's see. 2 Corinthians. Oh, my. Look at there. 156. I thought so. Let's see what we got here. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Oh, boy. Oh, busted. They are busted. If you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:18, I played a hunch and it paid off. And also Colossians 1:28. Oh, my. And 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Well, this is not good. 2 Corinthians 4:6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Goodness. Romans 15, verse 8. Oh, Acts 3:26. Mark 14:18. Matthew 18:2. Matthew 8:29. Matthew 16:20, Matthew 17:21. You know the ones I just read you? They've taken Jesus out of the Bible, out of those verses. Where they have just Christ. Christ can be anybody. It's Jesus, the Messiah. So, just for one, as an example, 2 Corinthians 5:18, in the AMP, the NIV, I mean, there's like 20 Bibles here. N-A-U, N-A-S, N-A-B, N-R-S, almost every one of them. It goes like this. In the King James, it says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, has given us to Him, given us the mystery of reconciliation." But in all these other Bibles, there's like, I don't even want to count them. There's just bunches of them. It says this, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Christ, and hath given to us the mystery of reconciliation." They've removed the word Jesus. Now you're telling me that that's to make it easier to read? How come I can't point this out? Now, I just didn't go to theology school to figure that out. David Daniels has a book called Look What's Missing. It's got well laid out on all the verses. throughout the Bible that's missing words and so forth, significantly. Look What's Missing by David Daniels. And he also wrote a book, it works really well, entitled Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible? The True History of God's Word by David Daniels. And it's really, really good. It gives you the details and, of course, supplement it with your other studies. But how about that? All those verses I named would specifically remove the word Jesus out of there. You're saying, well, we know the Christ of Jesus. And I'll say, well, no, you don't. Because the one called Sananda, Emmanuel, is coming as the Christ. Krishna is the Christ. Buddha is their Christ. Imam Mahdi, you got it, is all the Messiah. Who's Messiah? Well, other peoples. And then Americans are here, you know, they're scattered. They think just by being good that they're going to heaven. It ain't so. I thought something was awful fishy about that because I knew that they would. They did. They removed Jesus out of that 2 Corinthians 5:18 and about 10 other verses. Now, that does that not show manipulation? It should be clear. So the Great Commission is our Lord's command to disciples to go into the world. Has it been fulfilled? No, it hadn't. What can you do? You can witness when you get the opportunity. Pray for the opportunity. And then pray. Luke 10 verse 2 is, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And give money to the Lord's work, but make sure you give it to the right place and the right people. Make sure it's going. I don't like giving at church anymore. I might give a little bit, but not a lot. God will put somebody in front of you, somebody needing money, someone homeless, or somebody wanting food. And you say, well, I'm not going to give it to him. They're a derelict. They're going to use it for drugs. Well, how do you know? That's not it at all, really, because we can't make a determination. It might be she needs food for a baby, or they may be missing gas or something. That's not the point. Point is, in your heart, you're helping them. Now, they may use it for whatever. But the idea is that God puts them there or causes it to happen to test you out to see if you really are going to put forth. That's between you and God and your situation, wherever you are. Let him guide you. Might be some little old lady with a tin can or some scraggy, but it's not your, you know, it's your test. You can usually tell. Man, I do not trust the churches anymore to give them a penny. You know, it's not, tithing is not really in the Bible anyway, except during the Old Testament, as an order to the Jews, it gave them specifically what they got to do. After the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled that. So it's giving, and it says in the Bible, give any amount that you can afford, but it's the giving, the heart that matters. And God will set you up. That's what that's all about. Pray and give and prepare. Get your tools ready. And then go do whatever it is he wants you to do. He'll put somebody in front of you when he trusts you. And he'll test you to be a faithful witness. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. But can you imagine the joy of somebody coming to you? Is that not a testimony to you that you're walking the walk at least? Someone to say to you that, can you lead me there? I want to know what you know. You're like, huh? You know, what? Well, you got responsibility there. Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. The angels even celebrate when a human is led to Jesus. It might be three meetings, three divine appointments to finally get this person to do it. It might be a tragedy in their life. They may have a tragedy and remember what you said. There's a song. I don't know the name of the song, but there's a song that goes something like, I'm not going to sing it either. I'm going to spare you all that. But the song is about the guy yelling at God, won't you do something about it? Why are you doing nothing? Why are you just up there doing nothing? And the moral of the song is, no, I made you. You do it. I work through you. Oh, I didn't think about that. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Every Christian is called to witness for Christ. Every Christian can be a soul winner. It's important because of the value of a human soul. What's a human soul of such great value? Because it'll live forever. Now, you sort of got the idea. Do some of y'all that know me know what I'm fishing for right now? The value of a human soul. Do y'all know that I'm what I'm fishing for this very second? Maybe one or two or three of you know what I'm fishing for right this moment. I'm going to tell you. I'm fishing for the Humanist Manifesto that they say that their Human Manifesto 1 and 2 is to deny the existence of God and deny the existence of a soul, deny the existence of absolute moral laws, and deny the sanctity of individual human life is the theology of the coming new religion. Humanism and the New Age. New Age is hiding humanists like umbrella. God values the souls of men. Humanists hate the souls of men and the human soul. Every person you meet has a soul that will live forever, either in blessings of heaven or in the miseries of hell. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Ouch! John 3, verse 36. God values the souls of men. Humanists do not. Humanists are led by Satan, literally. He values the souls of men, and so highly he sent his only son to die on the cross, and that men might be saved. And you see that precious all men are to God. We'll do all we can to win them to Christ. If you think of the fires of hell, even your worst enemy, you can't imagine. You wouldn't even want your worst enemy to go there. I used to say, hey, man, go to hell. You know, that's what are you looking at? You know, or something like some stupid thing I used to say. Well, think about it. You don't even want to say your worst enemy about that, about going to hell. People can't imagine. Lead someone to Christ. Oh, I was a bad boy when I was back in my day. I had to learn the hard way. It was not easy. I didn't make it easy for myself. I didn't make it easy for anybody else. How to lead a person to Christ, though, with tact, with Scripture, showing that he's a sinner. Romans 3:23. And the first step in leading a person to Christ is to show him in God's Word, not you, but you showing in God's Word. That's all you're doing, pointing the way. Romans 3:10, 11, and 12. It's good to use. Romans 3:10, 11, and 12. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. People think doing good deeds makes them good. No. It's matters of the heart. Good deeds are as filthy as rags, as told by Isaiah. So you let him read those verses, Romans 3, 10 to 12. Then let him read Romans 3, 23. In Romans, Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, before a person can be saved, he must realize that he's a sinner. Otherwise, man, I don't sin. I give money to the church. I attend church Bible school and all this and all that. No, that's not about what it's about. Before a person can be saved, they got to realize they're a sinner. Be willing to give up his sins. That would stop homosexual marriage right there. Jesus Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's clean out. Luke 13, verse 5. So first, you show him there's a sinner. Second, you show that the penalty of sin is death. Key verse is Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. And death here is used as separation from God. Not what universalists think. That's annihilation. But separation from God. And in the lake of fire forever. It's eternal. Three. Show him that Christ died to pay the penalty for you. John 3:16. Let him or her. Who's God mean when he says the world? He means everybody, includes you and me. What did he give to us? Gave his son for us. Down the cross. And why did God give us a Savior? Because he loves us. Because we need a Savior. Sometimes he's got to take us down to show us. You cannot save yourselves. You cannot translate yourself and ascend on your own. He's got to bring you. You got to be able to receive it. Free gift. And number four, ask to receive Christ as your Savior. Or have them to pray to receive Christ as their Savior. And maybe lead them in prayers. And now it changes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. As many as received him, to them gave he power to be come the sons of God. Whole different reference to the sons of God in the New Testament as opposed to the Old Testament. The Old Testament, those were the fallen angels. Sons of God back then. But now when Jesus Christ lived, died, resurrected, through him, you're a son of God. But only through his perfect example. And your acknowledgement that you're a sinner. Whew, I couldn't say that again in a million years. So you get them to ask them now to receive Christ as their Savior. John 1 verse 12. In John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have him read that scripture. So he asked these questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? After You've asked him to receive his Savior. Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again? Do you believe that he's able to save you? Do you believe he's willing to save you? Is he able and willing, in other words? And do you believe that he would continue or would come to your heart and save you right now if you ask him to? So the answer to all those questions is yes. Then you can ask, would you like to ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart right now? If so, then you tell him about a prayer to preach, to say. It goes something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Now, for me to admit that, where's that pride at? Tony Robbins told me I wasn't no sinner. That was going to be a great man. So did the fortune cookie. And then Joel Osteen says if you're poor, you're going to hell or something like that. That you're here to live an abundant life in a three-car garage. Oh, my. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you are the Son of God and you died on the cross for my sins. Please come into my heart right now and be my Savior. You got to mean that. Man, if you're not tearing up, something's wrong. Because the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and you ask for forgiveness, you're not going to keep a dry eye. You can't just say it like a mantra. It's got to be sincere to him. So when someone truly receives Jesus, God wants them to know that he's saved. First, by believing God's word and by the witness of the Holy Spirit. He tells you, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The word hath, H-A-T-H, means that you have it right now. The old English is necessary. If you go to 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13, you notice in these verses that God says that we can know that we have eternal life. 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13. First John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. They will not go to heaven. They'll have trouble in their lives as well. 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You notice in these verses that God says that we can know. How many people you say, well, I sure hope so. It reminds me of a story that you have someone that's shuffling out to a plane, getting ready to jump out. And the parachute master says, you pack your parachute before you go out. You say, well, I hope so. Wrong answer. Or the parachute packer is there, and you say to him, you ask him, did you pack my parachute right? If he looks at you kind of quizzical-like and says, I think I did. Wrong answer. How would you like to know that you're saved? Those in other religions or whatever, they make up their own salvation. That will not work. It ain't going to happen. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. They don't know the implications of that in the New Age and witchcraft. You see, they don't understand. You can't make up your own salvation. So, and in doing so, be courteous and tactful. And if someone were to ask you, how can I become a child of God? what would you say? Well, we've just talked about it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. And then you might ask, would you like for me to show you from the Bible what God says about a saved, how is a person saved? And this would also go for Jehovah's Witnesses, to lead them through the same steps. Then you go through the four steps. Matthew 18:3. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. How do you lead a child to Christ? Show him from God's word that he's sinned, that he needs a Savior, then tell him about the Savior who died for his sins and ask him to receive Jesus Christ in his heart. Don't hammer him too many verses and let the other person read the scripture himself. Always use your Bible. Look to God in prayer. Don't interrupt people. Be earnest. No time for joking or soul winning. It's serious business. That's why I don't agree with Christian comedians. It's ridiculous. And they have them. Here in Mount Airy, they got one that travels around. He's a Christian comedian. How's that work? Also, don't argue. No debating. Can't debate God's word unless you're God. How's that possible? I'm going to debate God's word with whoever. How you do that when you're not God? How you debate God's word when you're not God? Don't try to make things fit. If you don't know, you don't know. Value each person highly. Don't be discouraged. Do be concerned. Do encourage other converts. And overcome your fears. Psalms 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So you can win souls. You pray for them. Watch for an opportunity to witness to them. Learn the four basic truths of the gospel. The fact of sin, the penalty of sin. Christ paid this penalty. And you must receive Christ, or the four basic truths. Learn how to answer the objections that we've talked about before, and be ready, and God will use you. We're at the end already. I'm getting to wonder if an hour is not too short. But anyway, thank you all for coming. Keep it short, sweet, and to the point. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock, broadcast. Destruction of the family, more detail. And we'll cover some other areas. And each day, who knows what's going to bring the next. And let y'all know, we're played up at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net is, Highpoint Radio is one word. And it's John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He plays our broadcast up there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. We appreciate that. My website, watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And I have broadcasts there, archives, and Bible studies. A few studies I've got, but they're pretty lengthy, about the timeline and HPV and suicide of the troops, all kinds of things it's got for you. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll see you all tomorrow. Lord, thank you for tonight. We come again today in this Bible study, Lord, to teach us how to lead others to Jesus. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. Keep us aware and with discernment and wisdom that, Father, we can see these times approaching upon us. And Father, keep us prepared for this and guide us in the right path. We pray for our loved ones to bring them together, healing in our families, healing for the children that's being abducted, and Father, healing for the veterans coming back. All these things we pray for future Bible studies and opportunities. In just name, amen. Family, we got it. So tomorrow, we'll see you at 4 o'clock. And religion takes people away from Jesus. That's what it's for. Reminds me of this. We'll see y'all tomorrow. And glad y'all come by today. It's all about religion, man. Religion just drives people crazy. Because it doesn't work. But Jesus does. The Holy Spirit's working in you. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus.